A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. This is Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are about to embark on quite an adventure on the newest episode of MasterChef. Welcome to the show.
So this is exciting, Kelsey, because we're doing, I don't know, double ups. We're doing two hours of MasterChef. We're going to break them into two episodes, like MasterChef broke them into. So we're starting with the first of the two episodes, the 8 o'clock episode, which is all about Andre Rush.
Yes. Andre Rush. He's quite rations. A reputation also. And yes. MREs. This is so cool.
What does that mean, MRE?
Military rations.
Okay. Thank you.
So basically freeze-dried food. So
when was the last time you had military rations?
I had some military rations when I was in high school. We would go on a long, like week-long camping canoe trip. And we would have to bring this type of food with us to eat. And because you'd pack everything for a week.
I have never had a military rations thing ever. I had space food once.
Yeah, it's just like that. I mean, it's the same.
Hydrated bullshit.
I remember once having like Neapolitan ice cream that was space food.
Yeah, I had that. Right?
Yeah.
Wait, it's like a
thing in school that you used to like always get to try, or you go to the space museum or something.
Is it still a thing? Like, can I order a bunch?
I'm sure you could. Yeah. I don't know why not.
It's really exciting.
But we used to make like pastas for MREs, like on these camping trips, or like a blueberry cobbler. There's some food you can make with them, but I think this is a really cool, they haven't done this before in MasterChef. I think it's a really inventive challenge.
Yes.
Hard for them. I was surprised quite a few of them have worked with them before. So,
I mean, I felt like every fucking person said that they did this before. I was very surprised.
I have obviously used them, but it's been 20 years and
you haven't used them in your MasterChef cooking.
No, absolutely not. And let's talk about Andre Rush for a little bit.
Okay.
He is quite a presence.
He's a force.
Massive.
Yeah. Looks like a WWE wrestler.
Times four.
Right. Sure. Fair enough.
Just has cooked for four presidents.
Yes. Who are the four?
I don't know.
George Washington. No, just kidding.
George Washington.
Just being
probably
silly.
George Bush.
Probably the last four.
Probably the last four, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But so that's pretty cool. I also have a little tidbit of information that was not shown, and I'm interested. Like, I don't know when it happened, but apparently during filming, he cut his finger badly.
Who are you talking
about? Andre Rush.
The judge?
Yes. During his demo.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Apparently they had to stop the whole demo and he cut it very, very badly.
Who's your source on this? Is it one of the current MasterChef competitors?
No, I found this out when I was judging.
Oh, I see. Oh yeah. Cause by the way, for everybody that follows and listens to the podcast, Kelsey is on one of next week's episodes.
Woohoo. I'm on the second hour next week. So stay up late. You have to watch it.
It's very exciting.
But yeah, they said it was a very bad incident. Like, he couldn't finish.
Well, if you really think about that, there's the demo is like not even there.
Right. So I'm not sure. They didn't show any of it, obviously, but he was wearing gloves for the remain, like at the tail end of it. So obviously they gloved him up. And anyway, I thought that was an interesting tidbit of information.
Very interesting. Okay, so that's a wild turn of events for the production.
Yeah, right. I don't know how they handled it, but, you know.
I mean, imagine like thinking like, okay, I'm going to be doing this next. And the guy who just is taught us how to do this just cut his finger.
Right. You don't hear of like the judges cutting themselves during their demos and stuff very often. It doesn't happen. When they told me, I was like, wait, the guest judge did?
Yes.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Whoops.
It happens. So,
but this is the first time we got to see Gordon cooking and doing a demo for the season. So as a former contestant, that was always so exciting. Watching the demo,
say,
it was so cool.
Yeah.
It's so impressive when Gordon cooks. It is quite a experience to have. You learn so much just by watching him.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, it's like watching his sort of YouTube channel or his MasterChef class in person.
Right. Yeah. It's all about watching what is his rhythm, how he manipulates the pans and moves them around. Mm. And it's so fluid and so second nature. It's really like, it's like a dance. It's beautiful to watch because he's not fumbling. He's just so comfortable.
And when you're trying to replicate what he's doing, how much of that stuff are you trying to replicate?
A lot. Mm. A lot. That was one of the main things that I would try to focus on. It was less about the actual cooking, but more how he was so organized.
Right.
In the kitchen and knew where to move pans like around the stove. Because if you're cooking a pretty intricate dish, you're going to have six pans going at once. And where to move those appropriately so they're not burning, and how to angle the handles so you don't burn your hands when you go to grab it. And
right.
There's a lot of things you don't think about that go into making a dish in a timely manner.
Mm.
So anyway.
Okay. Well, that's very, very interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole sort of back and forth with MD and Rush.
Oh, like, yes. She's very...
Like
into,
she's into it.
Yeah. Well, she's got muscles. Like she's got muscles, and then he's obviously got muscles, and she's like a little tiny. She was very intrigued by Chef Rush.
You know, I noticed that Charles rolls his eyes a lot.
He does. He either rolls his eyes or just he looks up and just looks disinterested.
It's an odd behavior. You know what I mean? Like he looks like, you know, well, maybe disinterested or, well, Charles is, and then over the next 2 hours is going to struggle immensely in both weeks. Is that a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement. He has a hard time with both of these challenges.
Lizzie says this is going to be an incredible experience because she has a lot of family, military family too, I think.
She has military family. She has camping experience. So I think she's excited for it. Who else says that you've done before?
I think Kennedy said she did in the bus.
Oh, yeah, her bus. Yeah, she just got them like hanging out and they just, you know, use it as drunk food, which is a choice, I guess.
I love it.
Right.
Grant is freaking out about it, right? He says that he's freaking out about this challenge. I don't think Grant had used this stuff before.
No, I would think that anyone that hasn't used it would be a little intimidated.
I would have walked out. I would have walked right out. I would have been like, no, nah, that's not for me. I can't do this.
I almost like these challenges because I feel like it's easier when you have a set of rules or like something that's more specific. I feel like it's so hard when it's just so open-ended and like, the world is your oyster when it comes to making decisions.
Mm.
Here you have 10 different MREs. You have to just like try them and figure out what you can make it. It's kind of like Chopped, you know, like where can
I
add this? You know, and well, we can get into kind of like the gameplay of this,
but if you've
watched Chopped before,
what's
or
that?
Any of those, man, what's that? What's that show?
We're only talking
it's not
about
on
Fox.
Fox.
MasterChef, I've never heard of that show. What show would that be?
And they even say they do this on Guys Grocery Games also.
What is that show? Oh my God. I've never heard of that show either. Yeah.
So if you are using a ingredient that is not in its natural form. So for example, they had to use these like tomato and peas in like powdered form. You should always just pair that with the natural ingredient that that is.
Right.
So you literally just like take those and just add them to whatever. It's like, it's not that hard when you pare it down, when you have these things in powdered form. We'll just grab the actual version of it and taste it, put it in there, level down your salt, and off you go. Like, right. It is way more intimidating on the surface than it actually is when you, if you like understand.
We always ask you this. What do you think you would have done?
I would have definitely done a seafood of some sort. Just because that's where my comfort is with in protein cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably would have definitely done something on the fattier side. So say a salmon, or if it was available, I don't, cause they had protein. So they had to pick from,
right.
A salmon or like a steelhead trout or something fattier, to really help pick up and like play off of those, the, all the saltiness. Cause you have right. to have something, it's really hard when you have something super delicate, and you're dealing with these like uber condensed flavors. I like the idea too of the, I thought the lamb was a smart grab because again, you can use so much to, you know, coat and dust the lamb. Like you could use that, that powder, really well.
Yes.
And then I always, I let, and a lot of people took this, example, but using, making a really good, like acidic vinaigrette from,
I love an acidic vinaigrette.
Yeah, from that powdered stuff. It's awesome. So that's kind of my where I would have headed.
Other thing that we have to mention in this situation is that we lose the regions.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Which is a huge deal because now everybody's like cooking for themselves. And then so the blue team has to get, the red team gets full pick of the pantry and the blue team is not going to get that. They're going to get whatever's left. And again, I wrote the gift that keeps on giving, Kendall.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I mean, that was Kendall's sort of issue last week, but now everybody on the team is sort of now has this problem, though. It didn't seem like it was a big issue. Like,
yeah, it wasn't really a big issue. I think they all, I mean, all the proteins were good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like even the meatball, like the pork wasn't bad right. if you did what he did with it. I mean, none right. of them were, none of them were bad options. So
I mean, like Rush tried,
it was
to,
an
like,
interesting trip, like twist, but I mean, they didn't put out like,
yes,
you know, just like sardines or something totally.
Yes.
Chicken breast, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, Nina picked a chicken.
Yeah, it was like a full thigh, though. It was like a, yeah. it was a nice skin on thigh. Like it was a nice piece, or like a half, a quarter chicken or something. It was a nice piece. So,
so Joe said he's never experienced rations. So
yeah, this is gonna be his that's first. Not surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he would, you know, and I wrote Pete too. So meeting me.
Pete too. First, third person Pete.
Yes. Wayne, I wrote Wayne seems like he's got it going on at the start of this, like, Wayne is really coming together.
Yeah, he had a plan. I thought there was a smart plan. It looked like he knew exactly what he was doing. And well, I thought he was going to like totally knock it out of the park.
Same. Yeah. We said Nina picks chicken. Colby gets pork, and he's not a pork person.
Yeah, and it is hard when you have a meat that's not in its natural form. So right. he got ground pork. So it is tough. Like, what do you, there's only a couple things you can do with it. So, yes. Great idea for the meatball. Again, perfect opportunity for rations to put that, flavor it into the meatball. That was a very, very smart move on his standpoint. MD picked the tuna, which I totally get. Mm-hmm. But camp could be tough because again, you know, the tuna is going to be so delicate.
Right.
So I was a little worried and that standpoint. And they kept saying, Chef Rush kept saying, it is salty.
Yes.
These things are like sodium times a thousand, you know, like.
He says it so many times. Be very careful. You know, these things have a lot of sodium. It's very salty. It's very salt. Like, I mean, he kept saying it. Like, I mean, you would imagine that nobody would have a problem on listening to that, right?
Right.
Because it's been said so many times.
Well, and then, so Charles is making this Thai curry.
They taste it.
Guess what? It's salty. Like, and have Rush, you tasted this? And it's not only salty, but it's super spicy, which makes salt, it enhances, like spice enhances salt, saltiness. So they're just like, you're fucked, dude.
And like, Rush says to him, said it 10 times.
Yeah, said it 10 times.
Said salty. 10 times. Didn't listen.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and
they
and,
even
and,
say, they're like, I don't know how you're going to fix that.
The other problem I have with Charles, too, is he makes like bizarro excuses. Like he likes it spicy and salty. Like he, instead of listening to the judges and like taking the note, he finds something to say that like sort of like us with the carcass.
Right.
You know what
he
I mean? Like he's still doing
it. He has to be defensive on it.
Yeah.
But this season, a lot of the contestants are very defensive on their stuff.
Yes. And Charles isn't the only one, but he's definitely leader.
But he's
of the pack.
Definitely a leader that area. Like, which fine, stand by your stuff. But if Gordon Ramsay is telling you something, you know,
and he says, "Young man, you got 20 minutes to go. Get a grip." I love when Gordon says,
"Get a grip,
young man. Get a grip." Like, I love things. I love that. And Charles says he needs to get out of his head, and then he winds up back in the pantry, and he says, "I don't know why I'm always back here."
I missed that part. Yeah, that's great.
They happen to just catch it, I guess, on audio.
I love when they, I mean, I was always like running around the pantry just being like, I don't know where anything is.
I don't know either. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I thought very interesting that Grant was making gnocchi.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was a bit worried when he started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because gnocchi can be. That's a tough one. And then you're adding MREs. Like, I sometimes, so it, during the episode, Gordon comes around and says, how are you going to cook those? And he says, well, I'm going to boil them and then pan fry them. And Gordon flat out tells him, do not boil them. They will disintegrate. Like, right. Do not do that. Which I think is interesting. Like, I like when they give feedback like that, but I'm also like, well, you just like could have totally changed the course of the competition with that one comment.
Right? Yes. Yes. And
if he wouldn't have said that, Grant would have put them into the water.
Yes.
And then they would have all disintegrated. And like, he wouldn't have had a main component of his dish. I always find that interesting. I'm like, ooh, one comment can totally change the course of the competition.
But I feel like it's not specific. Like, I feel like they're doing that for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was one of those moments where I was like...
Lizzie talks about her military family. What do you think about Lizzie?
I like Lizzie.
I wasn't saying it accusatory.
I was like, what?
What do you think of her? I mean, like, she's got the family story. She's got the military family stuff. Like, do you think that she seems like she would know exactly what to do here.
Yeah, I do. I think she felt very comfortable. I think she was excited about the challenge. I think just like where, you know, she comes from and everything, she's got a lot of experience with it. And I think there's a lot of pride that she holds. You know, she feels like, oh, I have to do well in this challenge because I have a military background. You know,
this is
something where it's one of those challenges where like you really want to do well. There are just some of those where you're just like, I really want to be in the top.
So. Yes. And this is what I said I love about Brynn. Joe comes up to her and he's like, have you tasted this? And Brynn, she doesn't argue. She wants to know how she can improve it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh no, what's wrong? Is something not right?
Please tell me how to fix it.
How can I fix it? What can I do to make it better? Mm-hmm. Like that to me, and like she's calling, I mean, because like a lot of times the judges just come by and it's like, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Like you're left to your sort of own devices of figuring out how to fix it. But in this case, she's like literally like, no, Joe, tell me what's wrong. And they get into a whole thing about the saffron. It can make things taste metallic. But this is what I love about Brynn.
Well, and this is where she understands the game. The game. I always tried to do this where the judges would come over and I would have something tangible for them to try or eat or give feedback on, because sometimes you just don't know, or you trust them. And I would always, you know, if you told me to do that, then I have like a fail safe, you know, one that told me to do that. You can't then go back and tell me that was wrong.
I wrote, beyond this competition, Brynn is going to be massively successful at whatever she chooses to do in her career, because she learns, asks, and adapts and creates even more magic out of whatever she's working on.
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
I'm a fan.
Obviously. I think we've established that. I think listeners are going to be like,
Shocker. But I did reach out to her and tell her that I'm a fan, and she didn't respond. So
stalker.
I'm a fan of her chef abilities. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, let's move off of that topic. Nina is making a bold choice.
She is very Nina bold.
Is making a chicken tiki masala.
We haven't learned from mistakes, have we?
I mean, I feel like too, like when we had Pervy on, you and her got into a whole thing about butter chicken versus tiki masala.
Masali.
It's just good one. So it's like,
I mean, even they're different, but they're the same.
Right. They're in the same wheelhouse for sure. It's not going well.
No, it's not going well. The judges don't like it. She's having a hard time getting the flavor she wants out of it. It was someone on her own, in her own region, that went home for this.
Yes.
It just seems like an odd choice.
I know. And Gordon even tells her, please be careful.
Yeah. But what do you do? Like, that's very broad. Please be careful. Change the dish. You know, what do you...
It's too acidic is what they're saying.
I thought it was very interesting. I wrote down a comment about this. So they said you had to use at least 3.
Right.
Of the MREs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wayne's using 9.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, what? Stop it.
He's back to the 9-layer cake competition.
Like, stop doing that. I mean, but then I was confused. I feel like it's so, are you supposed to only use 3? Are you?
And Charles, of course, is using the minimum. Everybody's doing
right. He's using the minimum. Everybody's
doing what you think that they're doing, right?
But I'm like, is this? I don't know. I want to know the exact verbiage, like maybe behind the scenes that they did. They tell the contestants, like, you know, maybe you should use more than 3, you know, to give them an edge up. I don't know. I thought it was very vague, the instructions that they gave. I would have been like, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to be penalized for only using 3?
No, Joe says to Wayne when he's using 9, you're not going to get extra points.
Right. But then they kept asking, like they asked Charles, user, like only 3. And then like everyone they went around to when they were tasting the dish, that was the thing they asked every single, how many did you use? How many did you use?
Right. That's true.
Then I'm like, well, I, as a contestant, I'd be like, well, you said only 3.
Right.
Like now I'm getting penalized. So they only use 4 and this person used 7. Like,
yeah,
that's not fair.
It's a very, very valid point. Speaking of Wayne is having timing issues.
Yeah. He started to struggle.
And then we started to see the other side of Wayne that we remember from a few weeks ago. The unraveling. Yeah.
That was really tough when he cut into that lamb. It's like, oh, Lord. That's...
I mean, And again, like he definitely has temperature issues. Generally speaking. Like I know it's not, I know that we're talking about the full 2 hours, but.
Oh, right.
You know, so there is like, I'm trying not to lead into next week, but this is under, right? This week is under.
This was not just under.
Yeah.
This looked like he didn't cook it. I was very confused. I was like, did this even touch a pan? I don't know how this is so under.
Arone says that Wayne is being too ambitious. Grant's looks good. I wrote Kennedy looks good. MD looks good. Oh, yep. And I was also kind of annoyed when Lizzie said earlier, I don't know if I said this, but Lizzie, when they broke down the regions, she's like, I have no one to hide behind now. What?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you trying to hide behind people?
Well, yeah, and I don't even feel like she's someone that was doing that. Like, I feel like she was always putting her best effort forward, you know? So it was sort of a weird, odd comment to make because, like, I think that could be argued for Charles and Kendall at times were hiding behind some of the other players in their regions.
Right. There was only that one dish that she had to hide behind, but I understand like where she's coming from, but it did come across as like, well, you should never be hiding. Like,
exactly.
Like we are.
And she doesn't seem like the hiding type.
No, no. So,
I didn't like that sound bite. I don't think it's her. I don't think it's on her. I think it's on the edit, just to be clear, not a Lizzie thing. A lot of issues with the chicken, tikka masala, which we are now aware of. Because Rush says to Nina, are you happy with the dish? Nina starts to give some sort of convoluted answer about 80%.
Yeah, and Rush, she's like, Rush well, just
cuts her right off and says, are you happy with the dish?
Right. Yes or no. Like, give a yes or no. Well, 80% happy.
Well, I'm like 80% on the, you know, don't even do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes or no. I asked you a question.
Talk about the top three. What did you think? Who did you think was going to be in the top three?
That's, I thought Colby would be. I did think Colby would be in the top three. I thought,
it's Grant, Colby.
Well, it's Grant, Colby, and Bryn, but I was surprised. I didn't think Grant was going to be in the top three, but they didn't show much of his dish ahead of time.
Correct. I felt the
same
thing.
I was, and what I did see of it, like the gnocchi, I just didn't think looked good. Like, it just didn't, like, aesthetically, like, when he was rolling it, I was like, oh, that's a little sloppy. But then they didn't show the rest of it. And I actually also didn't think Bryn would be in the
thought Bryn would be in the top three because her dish looked really solid. I thought it was going to either be Kennedy or Bryn.
Oh, yeah, I did think Kennedy might be in the top three, yeah. So actually, when we're going to that name, I actually thought it was going to be Kennedy. That's right.
Colby does the meatballs. Joe compliments the meatballs. To me, that's like the greatest compliment ever.
Yeah, super moist, like flavorful, really well done. I mean, Joe loves me. He tells everybody, like, I do meatballs.
Right. Yes. And Bryn rocks it. Everything looks really good.
Grant looks amazing.
It does.
The sauce looks a little, the color's weird. I didn't love the color.
No, it looks like, I see where you're going with that.
But the plating was amazing. Like, very well composed. It's so clean. Very, very, very highly marked on the plating skills. And they said that. They said this looks like it should belong in a Michelin star restaurant. It was very well done. And that's this is the first time I feel like I was impressed and felt like we finally saw three really well composed restaurant quality dishes.
Yes.
There's like, well, finally.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that about Grant.
No, but just in general, like out of everybody, this is the first time, like, I feel like even like Colby's, even Bryn's, like we saw multiple dishes that looked restaurant quality.
Yes, I agree.
And like I hate using that word all the time, but actual elevated dishes, not just like other versions of regular food. Like these totally. Are unique dishes.
Yes.
And I feel like these challenges like this, when they are pretty difficult or using strange ingredients like this, is when we get to see this creativity come out from the contestants. It totally. Forces their hand to be way more creative and step outside their comfort zones because they're just forced into it. So I was super happy about that.
Let's talk about the bottom.
Yes, let's talk about it. Shocker, a little bit.
Shocker, Charles is in the bottom with his salty and then his strawberry jam noodles.
What? His explanation was so funny. Like, why? What was your thinking on strawberry jam and the noodles? Well, I needed something acidic or like to give it some acidity. And I'm like, what?
I almost feel at times he's in a totally different, he's like on Worst Cooks in America. He's in a totally different show.
Definitely a different level. He's just not in the same playing field as everybody else in their skill and creativity and the way they can handle pressure. I think that's the biggest thing. He might be a great cook in his home kitchen, but obviously he struggles keeping his thoughts together and organized in
the MasterChef kitchen. He doesn't deal with pressure well.
Yeah. Not at all.
Noodles are undercooked.
It's just a really strange
dish. Got rice
dish.
And noodles on the dish.
Right. Why rice
Arone
and noodles?
Arone says you don't need both.
Would you ever serve pasta with rice?
I thought he was gone this week. I thought like that
you
was.
You did.
My...
You told me that. You were like, that's it.
That's the end of that.
So we have Wayne also in the bottom, obviously.
Which was shocking. I mean, it's shocking. Not shocking to me based on this week's competition. But just how this show or the competition can go up to down so quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
last week,
and the team challenge, he's just like runner. Incredible. Yeah, exactly. And now this week, it's a little bit like he's upset. He's, you know, he owns it, though. He says he should be in the bottom three. His cookie looks like a turd emoji.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love the composition of the dish. I didn't like, why three different types of sauces? This isn't like a charcuterie lamb chop board. You know, it seemed really odd. And then the cook on the lamb was obvious. I mean, it was raw.
Right.
Which sometimes, so I thought he was going home.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Or should have gone home. But I find it interesting because sometimes I feel like the judges, you know, they pose their comments the way they want it to go. Sometimes you cook, you know, raw protein trumps all.
Sure.
You know, like raw protein trumps all. And today they're like, but this wasn't a meat challenge. And I'm like, but it was an inedible dish.
Right.
So that to me, I get, again, a little, like, be consistent. You know, like they obviously did not want Wayne to go home.
No.
Which does he deserve to go home over Charles? No.
Well, but so that's what I was going to say to you. Like in defense of Wayne, it's like also though, Charles should have been gone like 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like
on this one challenge, I'm kind of like, well, but you served an inedible dish. So. Right.
Yes.
Yes, you deserve to be there more than Charles does, but
this week was bad.
Sorry. Like if you messed up,
I agree. So. The other person is Nina.
Yes. With the tiki masala, we've already kind of gone into that.
And I almost feel like she should go just because of her doing the same dish that sent someone else home.
But then that also made me think, well, they're not going to send her home. They're not going to send two people home for these like almost identical dishes. But they do.
That is what happens.
Send Nina home. I think it didn't resemble tiki masala. I think it was poorly executed. It didn't look great.
Right.
The colors weren't bright and vibrant like they should be. She knew it.
She made that comment about
tell when like they came around. She wasn't even 80% happy with that. There's no way.
She did start to say that. Yes. And she makes this comment that, you know, she doesn't want her star to fall. She wants to rise. I think Nina's a star in this competition. It was great.
Yeah, she was fantastic. They had a really rough time in their region. So between her and Brynn, they held their own. Yes. Nita's personality shined through. I loved her.
Same.
I was very sad to see her go because, again, she was a really bright light, and I thought she does have a lot of talent.
Totally.
So she's a very excellent cook, and I think she was great for the show. Yes. So it was not, everyone has to leave at some point. So, but we still have Charles here.
Well, I did write that note. I mean, and I don't mean to be so hard on Charles this week, but like, the level of competition is really heating up, and he has to step it up at this point.
Yeah, we're getting close to the top 10.
Yes.
Which is really when kind of they weed through some of the people that shouldn't be there or are struggling, again, handling the pressure. I think that's where the outliers kind of like fall. It's like, can you handle the pressure in a competition setting? It just kind of starts to show that way. And that's where the top 10, I feel like in every season, you know, really are the cast.
Exactly.
I would say that's really the cast of MasterChef. Once you get to the top 10 is when you're like, oh, okay, here's who we have for the season.
And you're going to help decide that.
Right? No, I have the top 10.
Oh, I see. So you're going to help decide us get to 9.
Yes, I help decide get to 9. But I get to be the episode where they are the top 10, which is very exciting. So it's
coming
first episode.
It's so exciting. Yeah.
I know. It's next week.
But before that, we have the tag team challenge. So anyway, let me ask you about this episode. Were you shocked or surprised that Nina went?
Yes, I was shocked. I was very surprised. I thought the order in which I thought the elimination was going to happen, if it was like worst, whatever, I thought it was going to be Wayne. If not Wayne, it was going to be Charles.
Same.
And then if not Charles, then it was Nina.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised that Nina went home.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, that's this week.
That's it. Yeah, it was a great challenge. I love when they have guest judges on. I think it's very fun. I think it brings a lot of excitement. I mean, obviously, in 2 episodes, there's like a really cool guest judge coming on.
The coolest, the greatest champion of all time.
Right. Yeah. On. I mean, the GOAT is making an appearance. So.
Exactly.
But anyway, I love the episode. I thought it was a great challenge, something we haven't seen in MasterChef. And then stay tuned because the iconic tag team challenge is next. It's always the best. I love it, and it's going to be a great episode for you all to watch and to listen to. So stay tuned.